thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Over the last number of weeks, we have the little series that we've gone through has been based on lessons from a broken kingdom. And JT took out of 1 Chronicles last week about the values of no's, the values of the no's that God gives to us in the Bible. Friends, there are some chapters and there are some books in the Bible, and we could be forgiven sometimes for thinking about what is the point? What is the point? What am I reading here? And all of this that's before me. And 1 Chronicles, for the first few chapters, is is a book that is like that, as an example. There are chapters in our Bible where there are lists of names, there are genealogies, there are generations after generations after generations, there are pages after pages after pages, there are places after places after places that are named, and if we are honest this morning, we cannot pronounce half of them. At least I can, anyway. We make stabs at it, but generally we cannot pronounce half of them or even understand a lot of them. And we get to the point where we ask the question, what could we possibly get from this? From a spiritual instruction point of view, or spiritual direction, or spiritual blessing? How in honour goodness can we find any of that in some of the chapters and books of the Bible? We wonder, is there any value in reading it? These seemingly endless lists, sometimes we can even stay away from them when it comes to reading the Bible. We shy away from them because sometimes we just don't, and we aren't able to pronounce some of the words. We don't understand it that well. Or if we do take a stab at trying to read through it, we read through it very quickly and we skip through or skip over half of it. It can be very tedious. It can get very boring, maybe very quickly. So the question this morning then just simply asks me, why would God include these lists? Why would God include these genealogies? Why would God include all these generations and generations and generations, when if he'd left it all out, sure, he could maybe put something else in that maybe would have been more inspiration to us. So the conclusion to all of that is, when we think about it, is we need to be very careful that we do not dismiss these portions of Scripture that have genealogies and generations and place names and all the rest of it that we struggle with to pronounce and all the rest. We need to be careful that we do not dismiss them. And they warrant, from time to time, a little bit of reading and studying and looking into. You see, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 says this here, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So if Jesus and God and the Scriptures are saying that all Scripture is given so that man can be complete, if we leave these portions of Scripture out, are we complete? The title of what we want to speak on this morning is called simply this here, Legacy Matters. Legacy matters, folks, this morning. It appears And it looks as if that legacy is important to God when he has put all these genealogies, generations, places, all in his word, in different places in the Bible. Legacy matters to God. And that's why we should take note, brothers and sisters, this morning, about these lists and things that we read about in God's word. So the question is, what is a legacy? What is a legacy? Well, a legacy simply this morning, friends, is that anything that is handed down from the past. That's simply what it is. That is what a legacy is. Anything is handed down from the past. And that comes in two parts, friends. Number one is law and finance. Wonderful. Law and finance. Your legacy will be in a will. Your legacy will be in gifts or money or property that you will leave to someone. That is what legacy is from a legal point of view. We all make our wills, or we should make our wills. Yvonne and I both made one last year. We had been contemplating it for years, and we finally got around to it last year. It should be done from a practical sense. Wills, gifts, money, property, left to someone else. That is legacy. But there is also legacy in personal life. And this is the harder one, friends. This is the one that cuts a little bit deeper. You see, a legacy for someone in your personal life and my personal life is the lasting impact a person leaves behind. That's what the legacy is. The lasting impact a person leaves behind, their values, their traditions, their character, the positives and marks that you make on the lives of others. That's what legacy is. And that's why, dear friends, legacy matters. So the question now is, what is your legacy? What is my legacy? What is our legacy? Oh, when we say that, and when we look at that, and when we start to contemplate that, and when we start to think a little bit about that, and I hope you are thinking as you're sitting there, what is my legacy? What am I leaving behind? What are my values? What are my traditions? What are my character? What are the positives and the marks that I am going to make on the lives of others? Once we start to shine the torch on ourselves, oh, this legacy thing has taken a change and a different course of direction. It's a challenge. Not so nice now. Not so nice now. Maybe we'll go back to not reading these portions of Scripture again. You see, there's a challenge for our own legacy. There's a look at our own legacy this morning. God's asking us this morning to just reflect on it a little bit, maybe to review it this morning as we sit here in his presence. Maybe we're to look into it a little this morning as we sit in his presence. What is my legacy? What is your legacy? What is our legacy? A man one time decided to join a monastery. It was a silent order. And after every 10 years, you were allowed to say two words after every 10 years. After 10 years, he was brought down to the head monk. He was brought into the room. The head monk said, okay, you've been here 10 years, it's your anniversary, you have two words to say. Choose wisely. What would you like to say? The man looked at him and he says, I'm cold. Another 10 years passed. On his 20th anniversary, he was brought back in again, up to the head monk. The head monk says, you're here another 10 years, you have two words to say to me. Choose wisely.
The man looked at me and says, I'm hungry.
Another 10 years passed. On the 30th anniversary, he was brought back in again to the head monk. The head monk looked at me and says, you're here another 10 years, you've got two words to say. Choose wisely. What would you like to say? He looked at the head monk and he says, I'm leaving. The head monk looked at me and says, thank goodness for that, for you've done nothing but complain since you got here. Do we know anybody like that? Are you and I like that from time to time? We all like a wee moan, don't we? But could it define you and me? And who we are? Who I am, who you are, who we are? Could it make it that it is my legacy, your legacy? We do meet people like that. And unfortunately, that will be their legacy. It's a silly story, I know. But the illustration is there for all of us. Legacy matters, brothers and sisters. Legacy matters. Quite clearly, the genealogies and the generations are how God works and he plans. Folks, you are not here this morning by chance. Not one of you is here by chance this morning. Not one. I don't know if, well, there'll be regular members, some may be visitors. Some I've seen before, some maybe I haven't seen so often. But this is by no chance that this group of people, at this moment in time, we are here. This is not by chance, folks. Not one of you are here by chance. You are chosen for such a time as this. That's the legacy. Many are called, but few are chosen. Matthew 22 and verse 14. You are not here by chance. You are chosen for such a time as this. Do you believe that this morning? Do you? Think about that. We are here for such a time like this. Those who were in the church years ago were there for such a time as that. And we thank God for them, and we thank God for their faithfulness. We thank God for their following of him, for how he blessed them, and how the church grew in Ballymoney Elam. Former pastors, former leaders, every single one of them were chosen for a time such as this. Every one of them, friends. On today, this very moment in history, you are here. God knew it in eternity past that this moment would take place. Legacy matters, friends. It matters. You see, brothers and sisters, this morning, this is your time, my time, our time. Simple as. And God has something for each and every one of us. He has something for you. He has something for me. And he has something for us in this generation. In this moment that we find ourselves now. Jeremiah 29 and 11. Very well known portion of scripture. For I know the plans I have for you, God says. He knows the plans he has for you. He knows the plans he has for me, and he knows the plans he has for us.
God wants you, he wants me, and he wants us to achieve all that he has for us. And he is well able, friends, this morning to guide us, to instruct us, to equip us, to lead us, to direct us, so that we can succeed, so that I can succeed, so that you can succeed in what he has called you to do. That is where we are at in this moment in time. Of course, we have an enemy. Of course, we have someone who will remind us on a regular basis that we're going to fail. We have someone who is an adversary to us, the devil. And he doesn't want any of God's plans to work. He doesn't want any of your plans to work. He doesn't want any of my plans to work. He doesn't want any of our plans to work. And he will do everything and anything to try and spoil and disrupt it. Maybe you sit before me this morning and you feel about past failures. Past failures maybe are still something that rile you. Maybe something that you're struggling with. It's maybe all gone wrong. It's gone pear-shaped. It's gone pear-shaped is a phrase or a terminology that we use. Maybe that's why sometimes God does show these genealogies in the Bible and the generations, because many of them, friends, many of the stories that we read in God's word, many of the genealogies that we go through, there's failures along the way. There's failures almost every step of the way. There's worry and strife. There's seemingly lost situations time and time and time and time again. Sometimes because of disobedience, sometimes because of not following or not listening or trying to do it ourselves. But thankfully in the stories, there's always that point where there's a reconciliation. God is always there. Maybe you're in that place this morning, friends. The situation seems lost. It's been tough going. It's been hard. You see, this is where God's grace and mercy and faithfulness kicks in. Because even when things are tough, even when things aren't going the way we want them to go, maybe when we have made a mess of it, John 3:17 says this here, God did not send his son to condemn, but he is sent to save the world. Jesus is not here to condemn anyone, friends. Even though we get it so badly wrong time after time after time. The psalmist in Psalm 34 and verse 4 says that he sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from my fears. You can be like that this morning, like the psalmist. Seek the Lord, hear from him, and he will deliver you from any fears that you have this morning. Psalm 136 verse 2 says this here, that his mercy endures forever. So he's not going to walk away from you. He's not going to turn his back on you. He's not going to just think, oh, he or she has failed again. Oh, well, I'm giving up on that. No. That's not the way God works, friends. His mercy endures forever in any aspect and every aspect of your life. Lamentations 3:23, great is your faithfulness, God, this morning to each and every one of us. Friends, the Bible is full of failures. The Bible is full full of stumblers. The Bible is full of disobedience. The Bible is full of people who have tried to do it themselves. The Bible is full of people who have had it tough, and yet they have a great legacy. They have a great legacy. And I want to tell you something, friends. You are no different this morning. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you may feel, you have a great legacy in Jesus Christ. We're going to turn to God's Word. And I want to do something this morning. I want you to turn your Bibles to Isaiah 53. A well-known portion of scripture. There's about 12 verses, although the verses, some of them are quite long, so it's a lengthy portion of scripture. But I want us to read it this morning together, and I'll start off and I'll read a couple of verses. But after that, I want, don't let me down this morning now, okay? Don't be letting me down. One after the other, take a verse and read it this morning. And we're going to read through Isaiah 53 here, okay? Isaiah 53. And commencing to read at verse 1. I'll read a couple of verses, and then after that, friends, one after the other, to near the end, and maybe I'll finish it off at the very last. Okay, here we go. Isaiah 53. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his wonderful word this morning, friends. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. And as a root out of dry ground, he has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great. He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Amen. Friends, what a legacy. What a legacy. The greatest legacy known to man is our Lord Jesus Christ. We have victory this morning, friends, through Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. We have victory this morning through Jesus Christ. What a legacy! Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. 1 John 4 and 4. What a legacy. What a legacy. At the name of Jesus. Oh, I love this one. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall shout that he is Lord. Philippians 2, 10 and 11. What a legacy, friends, this morning. Brothers and sisters, what a legacy. The greatest legacy, far above all, is our Lord Jesus Christ. We sang about it this morning. The cross is his legacy. Each and every one of us, washed in the blood of Jesus. What a legacy. Born again, undeserving. But yet, called by God through his Holy Spirit to be part of this generation, this moment in time. What a legacy. The blood of Jesus. The empty tomb. What a legacy. Victory over the grave. What a legacy we have in our Jesus this morning. Let it sink in. Because he is a legacy, we have a legacy. It's as simple as that. It is as simple as that this morning, brothers and sisters. He will build his church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What a legacy. What a legacy this morning. And he is coming again. What a legacy. What a legacy. He hasn't forgotten about us. He said that himself. I go to prepare a place for you and I will come again. I suppose in closing this morning, first question I would ask, are you part of the legacy? Have you come to Jesus? Have you been washed in the blood? If not, why not? Do you know him? Are you a follower of Jesus? Are you following him right? Are you following him well? Oh, don't, I'll be the first one to put my hand up and say no. It's tough sometimes. It's not easy. It's hard. But legacy matters, friends. It cannot be just brushed off. Yes, it's a fight. Yes, it's an issue. Yes, it's a problem. Yes, the enemy will try and buffet and push and shove and kill the rest of it. But we have a legacy in Jesus Christ that is far, far, far above all this morning, friends. It is all about him. It is all about what he done on the cross. It is all what he done when he rose from the grave. It is all about what he done when as he sits at this moment in time, interceding at the right hand of the Father for you and for me. What a legacy. Thank you, Jesus. And he is coming again. Turn to somebody and say this morning, he's coming again. He's coming again. And secondly, are you ready? Turn to somebody and ask them, are you ready? What a legacy. What a legacy. Friends, legacy matters. I'll read that wee portion up. I'm going to ask the worship band to come back up, Johnny, and then we're going to finish off this morning. The lasting impact a person leaves behind, their values, traditions, character, positives, and marks that you make on the lives of others. What a life. What an impact Jesus had on each and every one of us. What an impact his values had. What an impact his traditions had. What an impact his character had. And what an impact his positives and the marks that he makes on the lives of others this morning. Blessed be his wonderful name. Friends, legacies matter. Don't shy away from those portions of scriptures that does seem to be hard sometimes. Read them. Follow up on them. God bless you this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.